wounded clan needed time to heal. So did its alpha. He blew out a painful breath, shoving aside the thought for this extraordinary moment when the most beautiful, intriguing woman he'd ever met was in his territory. His ungrateful bear grumbled that he should have put her in his bed. Valentian scowled.
She'd have turned my brains into liquid.
Going to his own room, he found the package he'd asked Pavel to prepare yesterday evening as part of his plan to be sneaky like a cat. Picking up the sleek computronics carrier along with a toolbox in which he already had the necessary spare lock, he returned to Silver's room.
Here, Starlichka.
He put the carrier on her bed.
All the gadgets your heart could desire. I can give you the code if you want to send using our systems, but I'm guessing you're hooked up to a Psi satellite.
He was opening his toolbox as he spoke, having set it down by the door.
Be nonchalant,
he told his impatient self.
Don't stare at her to see if she likes the gift. Cats don't stare. Cats just kind of prowl along until they prowl themselves right into their lovers' beds. Be the cat.
Silver spoke to his back. My family has a personal communications satellite, but thank you for the offer. A pause. What are you doing?
Fixing your busted deadbolt.
Silver found herself staring at the wall of Valentian's back as he began to remove the broken lock from the door, his physicality an intrinsic force.
Do you have replacements just lying around?
A grin shot over his shoulder before he returned to his work.
It is a bear pack.
Her eyes lingered on the shift of heavy muscle and tendon in his back and arms under the dark blue of his t-shirt, his words triggering a question she'd been meaning to ask.
Do bears metabolize alcohol faster or better than other changeling groups?
Valentin's shoulders shook as his laughter filled the air.
Yes, it pisses off the wolves.
That explained the bear liking for alcohol a little more. It wasn't simply the drinking they enjoyed, but the fact they could take it better than the other predators in the area. It put paid to her belief that bears were unsubtle. Bears, it appeared, could be subtle. They were just very, very clever about it, hiding the subtle under the blunt edge of an axe. And Valentian was their alpha. She stared at the button collar microphone and paired receiver, the paper-thin organizer, the satellite phone and the slimline computer that had been in the padded carrying case he'd handed her. Each of the latter three items was of the exact make and model that she preferred.
You've spied on me.
Having removed the broken lock, Valentian put it down beside his toolbox.
I notice everything about you, Starlight.
The holes in his jeans exposed part of his lower thigh as he shifted to drill in a piece of the new lock.
If, hypothetically speaking, we did do any spying, it'd only be fair.
A very bearish smile.
Can't have you be the only one snooping around.
Silver couldn't refute the latter. She had spied on Stonewater. She'd even done a little industrial espionage when her family and the clan had been up for the same contract. Stonewater's espionage had been better. It had taken her 3 months to work out how they'd done it, by buying a young employee of the company a beer, or seven, and getting the inside data on the deal. Bears.
Did you discover anything interesting during your hypothetical spying?
She said as she began the process of connecting the devices to the Merkant satellite. The first thing that would download after connection was a clean sweep virus that would return the devices to factory settings, ensuring she began with a clean slate.
You have a lot of gray suits.
Valentian got up, began to fit in the second part of the new lock.
Light gray, dark gray, blackish gray, gray gray, gray with fine pinstripes, gray so pale it's nearly white.
A shake of his head, his hair all tumbled black strands.
I never knew there were so many types of gray before you.
Satellite connection made. Silver watched the clean sweep icon come on. Gray is a very versatile shade.
I'm no fashion critic, Starlight. My style is, it's clean, put it on.
And yet he had a presence that dwarfed other men's.
But,
he added,
when Nova saw our hypothetical spy file on you, she said you should try sapphire blue and emerald green and deep pink. She says winter shades would suit you, whatever that means.
He put something between his teeth as he carefully positioned part of the lock.
I'd be happy with anything other than gray,
he said from around the object.
Makes it hard to see you in the rain.
Silver found herself responding to the sly challenge. I'll wear a shade of your choice. She waited just long enough for him to turn toward her in open interest. If you start wearing three-piece suits. Valentian's scowl was all heavy eyebrows and dark eyes.
I do have a suit, you know. My sister's got it for me for my high school graduation.
Of course you have only one suit, and it's 10 years old. He never turned up to meetings looking as if he'd made an effort. Part tactics, she thought, and part because bears.
How are my bears treating you?
He asked a minute later, his back to her once more. It was a very broad back. Silver wondered what it would look like if he took off his t-shirt. She'd never been near anyone who was built with that much muscle. Very well, she said around the problematic thoughts. But I won't be staying here as long as my grandmother indicated. Chapter 12.
Repeat after me. I will never trust a bear who promises to show me a good time.
Selenka Durev to Black Edge Juveniles. Valentian didn't reply at once, his attention on the handheld drill he was using to finish fastening the bolt to her door. Turning afterward, he thrust back his hair with an absent hand, said,
Can't say I'm shocked. Ina's protective of you, but you're not the kind to hide away and let your elder take the risks.
It was an astute breakdown of her nature. I need to recover to full strength, but that should only take another day or two, after which I'll return to hunt down the individual who attempted to poison me.
You think they'll show their hand?
Leaning back against the now fully functional door, Valentian shook his head.
Your family is known for being sneaky, yes? Cat sneaky.
Cat sneaky was not a term she'd ever heard applied to the Merkins, but it was strangely apt. Your point?
My point is that if I'm right about the sneaky, and your babushka is right about this being an inside job, then the coward responsible will go quiet when he or she realizes the poison failed.
His voice dropped into a deeper register.
They'll just wait for another chance, even if it takes weeks or months. Poisoners are patient.
Silver took in that stubbled chin, the messy hair, the corded muscle of his folded arms, and knew none of it was as important as his brain. You're understanding the subtleties of the attempt on my life very well for a self-confessed rowdy bear who rammed my door open.
Huh. Fancy that.
He attempted to look innocent. Don't give up your day job for the stage, she advised. Laughing, all teeth and a charismatic power that hit her with psychic force, he dropped the terrible act.
You going to listen to me, Maya Solnishka?
Since I've already come to the same conclusion, yes. Silver compartmentalized the reaction she'd just had to Valentian. She'd deal with that later, when he wasn't in front of her, inciting further perplexing responses by using endearments that made no sense. She wasn't sunshine. She was ice cold. I'll have to action my hunt in a way that doesn't nudge the poisoner into heading underground. It didn't surprise her that her newly downloaded messages were devoid of any updates from her grandmother.
Ina going it alone?
Silver was no longer surprised by his perceptiveness. She's used to bearing the weight alone. None of Ina's three children had the drive or the ability to steer the family.
Zoya was like that,
Valentin said.
Even her seconds had to work to gain her trust.
His hair fell over his forehead again.
Your grandmother's reverted because you're hurt. She'll settle down once she sees you healthy and strong again.
If Ina didn't, Silver would force the issue. Valentia nodded at her nest of devices.
Anything urgent?
No, it's under control. Lennig has been taking over many of my duties with Caleb as Emnet demands more of my time. There was no reason to conceal that fact when Anastasia had been dealing with Lennig on various matters of late.
He's not as good as you.
He's excellent. She'd trained him herself and knew that he was highly capable. His only issue was a lack of confidence. You're just not used to him yet.
Didn't say Lennig wasn't good at his job.
Valentian walked forward, engaging her attention despite her order to herself to not be distracted by the bear in her room.
Just said he isn't as good as you.
Leaning down, he grabbed her organizer and phone away from her before she could move. Her computer was next. You're going to tell me to rest, Silver predicted, coating her voice with frost. You should probably know I'm an adult, and have been for some time. I do not need to be tucked into bed. Laughing with an openness that said he wasn't the least chilled by her tone, Valentian put the tech on the bedstand.
Oh, trust me, Starlight. I've noticed you're an adult.
He ran his eyes down her face, over her upper half and to the legs still concealed under the blanket, and made a return journey as slowly.
I've noticed a lot.
Silver tried to ignore the visceral impact of his scrutiny as she ran her own eyes up and down his body. I've noticed you have more holes in your garments than cloth.
I like the airflow.
Not the least abashed, the bear who'd been provoking her for months affected a put-upon look.
I took your tech because I wanted to invite you for a walk. That's what civilized hosts do.
Silver knew he probably had something up his sleeve, but information was her drug of choice, and she could handle this particular bear. Sliding her legs out of bed, she remained seated on it as she quickly fixed her hair, having placed a hairpin on the bedstand for easy access. Valentian's mouth fell open, a glowing ring of amber circling his irises. When he spoke, his voice had dropped several registers, and she had the intense feeling of something big and wild looking at her in utmost fascination.
I always thought you must spend an hour in front of a mirror to get that icy cool look.
Shaking off her own fascination at the otherness of him that oddly wasn't other at all, Silver said,
That would be a waste of my time.
Which was partly why she'd practiced in the dark until she could do it blindfolded. Power was often about perception.
A moment while I put on my shoes.
She pulled the dark blue canvas sneakers out from just under the bed.
Will I need a coat?
Yes, temperature's dropped.
Valentin glanced around.
Looks like Nova forgot to lend you one. Hold on.
He returned in a minute with a thick sweatshirt.
Here.
Silver stared at the large black item of clothing printed with the logo of a human rock band.
The hoodie wasn't enough.
A hoodie that had disappeared from her room, possibly to be laundered.
You wish to ensure my drowning?
Why do I put up with you, Starlichka?
Valentian's growling voice caused the tiny hairs on her arms to stand up straight.
You can get something from Nova later.
He lobbed the sweatshirt into her lap.
The light will be gone if we delay.
Silver had the sense she shouldn't be doing this, but she couldn't figure out a logical reason why. Valentian was right. The light would be gone in about an hour, and she needed to make the most of her time here. It'd be wasteful if she didn't use this opportunity to build up her personal database about changeling packs. That information could only help her do her job. She pulled the sweatshirt over her head, careful not to jar her hair. It swept over her in a fresh, citrus-edged scent that told her it had been recently laundered. However, underneath that was the warm, earthy scent of the man who usually wore the sweatshirt. It felt as if he'd wrapped his big body around her. Silver went motionless. But before she could consider what to do about the strange intimacy of being surrounded by him, Valentian was pulling open the door and stepping out. Silver decided she could bear the discomfort, given the advantages of having the Alpha of Stonewater as her guide. She began to roll up the sleeves of the sweatshirt as she walked over to join him.
"Here,"
he said, and took over the task.
"Done."
She had to admit he'd been far more efficient with two hands than she had with one.
"Спасибо."
He smiled. And it was different. She couldn't quite understand how or why, but she knew it had something to do with how she'd thanked him without any hint of the edgy challenge that was always present between them, two alphas struggling for control. Their eyes met. Held.
"Valentian!"
A woman of a height near to Silver's, her build athletic and her eyes a stunning greenish-gray, jogged down the hallway.
"We had an attempted incursion."
The woman, who Silver recognized as Anastasia Nikolaev, had a grim expression on her face.
"When?"
Valentian's tone was harder than Silver had ever heard it.
"Just now, I got the report from one of the sentries."
Anastasia held up a hand, tapped her ear.
"Thanks, Yasha."
Dropping her hand, the other woman looked at Silver, then Valentian.
"It was a reporter."
Her lip curled, her mouth unexpectedly lush in an otherwise angular face. That face was capped by short strands of ink-black hair that suited the handsome lines of her features.
"Parasite. He was trying to sneak in to get an exclusive of Silver Merkin's torrid affair with the Stonewater Alpha."
Silver blinked at the coda. Beside her, Valentian glared at his sibling.
"Save the jokes, Stasia. I need the facts."
"Those are the facts."
Smile wide, the other woman folded her arms across generous breasts.
"It was Yasha who got the journalist. You know how fucking scary he can look. He made the man all but pee his pants. The asshole was from a tabloid."
Silver asked the most pertinent question.
"Why would a tabloid reporter think I was having a torrid affair with your alpha?"
Anastasia raised both eyebrows.
"Sasha Duncan with Lucas Hunter? That gorgeous redhead, though her hair's more dark cherry, with the snow dancer alpha? What made her choose a wolf, I'll never know."
A mournful shake of her head.
"Also," the other woman added, "you did disappear into the clan after Valentian was spotted in your vicinity."
She turned her attention to her brother.
"You got snapped climbing up her apartment building, Mishka."
"I wasn't trying to hide,"
Valentian said, his expression harsh when Silver would have expected him to laugh and shrug it off.
"Any risk the reporter could have gotten through?"
"Our perimeter is solid. Pasha's scanners picked up the reporter, but Yasha acted even before Pasha could feed him the incursion report."
"Good. If need be, we can ramp up security while Silver is in Denholm."
"Got it. I'll keep you updated."
Walking backward, deeper into Denholm, the other woman smiled at Silver.
"In case you are in the market for a torrid affair, I know a number of bears far more erudite than this hulking beast next to you."
"According to my understanding of the matter, erudition isn't necessary for a torrid affair."
Valentian laughed, a sound huge and real in a way Silver couldn't explain.
"Burned by ice, Stasia."
His sibling didn't seem to take offense. She called out,
"Have fun!"
from behind them.
"Do everything I do!"
Evaluating the situation as they reached the cavern, Silver said,
I didn't believe I'd draw trouble to your pack.
The attempt on her life had been a thing of stealth, not orchestrated by an individual who'd expose themselves to the light. She'd never considered that the media would be a concern.
I apologize.
We can handle it.
Valentian pointed a finger at a curly-haired child of approximately 3 who was about to run headlong toward him.
Not now, Dima. I'm taking our guest for a walk.
The child's face fell for an instant before his dark eyes gleamed and he ran headlong toward Silver instead. Valentian intercepted him with a primal swiftness that would have surprised many. A bear changeling wouldn't win a race against a cheetah, or a wolf, by any measure, but Valentian would beat Silver in a foot race without trying. A smaller bear might not be able to overtake her, but their physical endurance was legendary. She'd be long down before the bear stopped moving. Bringing the grinning child to his face, their noses a bare half inch apart, Valentian rumbled in his chest.
What did I say?
Giving a big sigh, the boy Valentian had called Dima shook his head.
Exactly.
He squeezed the child into a big hug that had Dima smiling again.
Now go join your friends for your own walk and stop getting into trouble.
After the child ran off to the knot of cubs at the entrance, Silver said,
What was he planning?
Dima suddenly developed the habit of clinging to people's legs like a barnacle.
The words held deep affection.
It'll pass, but for now he's often a one-sided weight when I'm walking around.
I see.
She halted, her eyes on a couple who'd begun kissing in the center of the cavern the instant the area cleared of children, the male's arms tight around the woman, her fingers digging into his back. They broke apart an unusually long time later.
2 minutes, 11 seconds,
called out a woman who'd been watching.
Beat that!
The couple pumped their fists in the air.
Pfft,
a male said.
I can kiss on a single breath for at least 3 minutes.
Yeah, how about you show us? Or are you all words and no action?
The heavily built bear spread his arms.
Which lovely lady wants to volunteer to be the object of my lusty affections?
His gaze landed on Silver.
Miss Merchant, I could show you. Never mind. I like my head on my neck.
Silver glanced at Valentian. He gave her that terrible, innocent look.
You can watch this uncivilized show every night,
he told her.
Once the cubs get back from their outing, it'll be much harder to make a clean getaway.
Let's go.
She replied politely to the greetings sent her way, but didn't stop again until they stepped outside Denholm. The foliage began almost immediately at the entrance, but for 2 narrow pathways in among the trees and heavy shrubs. There was one larger cleared area that she already knew was used for a limited number of vehicles, though it was empty at present.
Where do the cubs like Dima play?
They're free to run amok inside. Caverns full of natural light and more than big enough. It also has the pond to splash in and rocks to clamber over,
Valentian told her.
But we take them out several times a day to let them play in the open air. That play is how we teach them the beauty and the danger of the wild.
He led Silver into the rich green of the trees. It didn't take extraordinary deductive skills to recognize why the clan maintained such an impenetrable wall of forests across their territory. Even from the air, no one would be able to pinpoint the exact location of the place they called Denholm. Looking back, Silver had trouble finding it, even though she knew where it was. The camouflage of the trees, shrubs, and moss on the mountain was flawless.
This way, Starlichka.
Valentian shot her an assessing look after pointing out a hidden path through the undergrowth.
Nova will skin me alive if I overtire you. Then she'll make high heels out of my skinned flesh.
I'm feeling closer to my normal self after my rest today.
It was no lie.
The fact I received immediate medical attention has no doubt contributed a great deal to my recovery. I owe you.
Valentian lifted his hand, the scars on the back catching her attention. Dropping it before his fingers brushed her hair, his gaze strangely gentle, he said,
You would have done the same. We're even. No debts between us.
It wasn't the kind of calculation with which Silver was familiar. In her world, a possible future act didn't hold equal weight to an actual act. But had Valentian collapsed on her doorstep, she would have immediately summoned help. Not because it would have been a good political move to have a powerful changeling alpha in her debt, though that advantage would have no doubt occurred to her later, but because the Merkants had more than one guiding law. The first was family. Always. There was, however, another one that was highly unusual.
"We are the product of an eon of honor," her grandmother had said to her when Silver was a child. "Merkants began as the loyal knights to a great king. Our ancestors were strong and proud and known for their steadfast integrity. That we function in the shadows does not mean we must no longer be true to that lineage."
Silver wasn't sure she believed in the founding legend of the Merkant family, but she had to admit their familial principles were very different from all other powerful Psi families of which she was aware. Because the applicable law in this situation was, harm no innocents. Valentian might not consider himself in any way an innocent, but he'd never been an enemy of the Merkants. A business competitor, yes, but that was a different playing field. There was no honor in taking a fight off the field of battle. Another law from their ancestors. So yes, Silver would have called for help. A hidden part of her psyche stirred, struggled against the chains that contained it. "Are you sure family honor is the only reason you would have helped him?" Chapter 13. Silver had long ago learned to deal with that caged aspect of her nature, giving it no freedom but that which allowed it to act as her conscience. The primal, passionate emotions of the girl she'd been had no place in her adult life. She shut it down in instinctive self-preservation.
"Careful."
Valentin caught her upper arm when she stumbled over a root, the heat of him burning through the sweatshirt to sear her skin. She stiffened. Breaking contact at once, he thrust a hand through his hair.
"Sorry,"
he said, his tone gruff.
"I know you don't like contact."
Silver's greatest strength was her mind, so she picked up the subtlety in his statement. He'd said she didn't like contact, not that the Psi race didn't like contact. The use of the word "like" was probably inconsequential, simply the way changelings saw the world.
"That file you have on me again?"
A smile that didn't warm his eyes, the onyx absent of even a hint of amber.
"Maybe."
Silver found herself holding that gaze for motives that had nothing to do with proving her dominance.
"I appreciate the assistance. Falling on my face wouldn't have been a comfortable experience."
Amber ringed his irises, his smile a wild thing. Silver's pulse jerked.
"We're here anyway,"
Valentian said.
"So no more risks."
Following his gaze, Silver saw the spreading branches of a large tree that was a burst of yellow leaves speared to translucency by the late afternoon sunlight. She couldn't spot a single green or brown leaf amongst the shower of pale yellow, but the sloping earth below was carpeted with leaves that had turned brown, orange, and a deeper yellow. Even more arresting than the natural view was the family of bears busy at play in the large stream at the bottom of the gentle slope on which the tree stood. One large bear with light brown fur and two darker cubs. The adult stood calmly in the water while the cubs splashed and jumped and chased what might have been real or imaginary fish.
"Changelings?"
Valentian nodded.
"Size and behavior are the clues, though the latter is occasionally negotiable."
Most changeling animals were larger than their wild counterparts. This appeared to hold doubly true for bears. The adult standing watch over the cubs could mow down any predator that came at it. Psi wouldn't stand a chance unless they had the psychic strength to smash a changeling mind, or the telekinesis to fight them on a physical level.
"I can't tell if the adult is male or female," she murmured,
having never had reason to learn that distinction, as Stonewater bears rarely ever shifted in the city. Even drunk, they seemed to be conscious that if they didn't watch their physical strength, they could very easily kill humans, Psi, and non-predatory changelings.
Female.
Putting his fingers to his mouth, Valentian let out a sharp whistle. All three turned toward them, with the romping cubs making excited sounds and jumps, while the adult settled down into the water, the gentle flow parting around her large form as her fur turned water dark. As if now that Valentian had arrived, she could break from her careful watch. Attention diverted by her move, the cubs tried to climb onto her back. Silver was almost certain she saw the adult bear give a long-suffering sigh. Laughing at the cubs' antics, Valentian jogged down the slight incline and waded into what had to be ice-cold water after kicking off his boots and socks. He splashed the cubs, laughed when they splashed him back. Running so they could chase him, he turned abruptly and chased them back to their unhidden joy. Silver took a seat on the grass. When the female bear looked her way, she inclined her head in a silent greeting. The bear did the same. Then they both watched an alpha bear play with two energetic cubs, his hands holding rough care for their small bodies. By the time Valentian made his way back to her, he was drenched and his eyes weren't human in any way. When he spoke, his already deep voice was so low it felt like thunder against her skin.
"Couldn't resist,"
he said, pushing back his wet hair with one big hand.
"If you weren't in recovery and if I wasn't in terror of Nova's wrath, I'd have invited you. The small monsters wanted to play with you."
Silver didn't get to her feet.
"Can we stay here a little longer?"
It was patent that Valentian had an extremely high tolerance for the cold, but he might want to dry off.
"Sure,"
he said, and moving away several feet, shook off the wet. Fine droplets settled on the skin of her cheek, but she didn't flinch at the unintentional tactile contact. She also controlled her urge to reach up and touch the water where it lay against her skin. There was no reason to do that, and Silver was alive because she only did things that were rational. Settling beside her, Valentian waved at the cubs as their guardian led their tired forms toward a path in the trees that was at the same level as the stream.
"Gentler climb,"
Valentian told her.
"They seem too exhausted to make it to Denholm."
"It's all an act. They're hoping for a ride on their aunt's back."
His tone held the same fond affection she'd heard when he spoke of Dima.
"It'd take more than a few minutes' play in the water to wipe out those two."
The cubs had played with Valentian for almost a half hour.
"They're hyperactive?"
"They're baby bears."
Silver watched as those baby bears turned toward her and rose up on their back paws as if in challenge. A stern sound from their caretaker and they dropped down and scrambled to catch up with her. Their bodies disappeared into the trees as dusk began to turn from orange to shadowy gray. Beside her, Valentian sprawled out, bracing himself on his elbows. His drenched t-shirt clung to the ridged muscles of his abdomen, pulled tight across his pectoral muscles, shaped itself over his shoulders. His jeans weren't much better, outlining the raw muscle of his thighs. Valentian Nikolaev was a man of violent physical strength, even in human form, yet he clearly had iron control over it. When he'd played with the children, they'd displayed zero fear of their alpha.
"To be alpha is to protect."
Words Lucas Hunter had spoken once, according to a media report. It explained much about the dynamics she'd witnessed. Valentian was the most dominant individual in Stonewater by far, but his clanmates understood his strength would only ever be used to protect the clan, never to harm it. He was like Silver, like Ina.
"You thought about where you're going to live when you escape the bears who've kidnapped you?"
When she raised an eyebrow at him, he grinned.
"Fringe Netter with his own internet channel sent out a breaking report last night. Pasha, who obviously needs more work duties, Made up a fake account and posted a comment swearing to have seen you being pulled into a black van by 6 burly bears in bear form.
You don't seem too concerned.
Amber eyes and deep voice, he remained very much a bear in human form.
Well, according to this eyewitness, the getaway driver was in bear form too. Must have been tough for him to steer with one paw since he was drinking a beer at the same time.
Bears, Silver said, making Valentian throw his head back and laugh that huge laugh that wrapped around her. Hit by the last rays of the setting sun, he was magnificent. It was the only word that applied.
As for the question of my residence, she said when he stopped laughing and turned to look at her with his cheeks still creased. I've decided my apartment has some technical issues that require maintenance.
Valentian nodded.
Clever.
There are a number of secure buildings in the city that I can relocate to in the interim.
Valentian made a dubious sound.
Your building was secure too, and all the negatives your grandmother pointed out still apply.
Unfortunately, Silver agreed with him.
You have an alternative suggestion?
There's a changeling complex that might work,
he said.
Your relatives won't be comfortable enough to drop by, and it gives you an easy cover story. No need to set up fake long-term repairs in your apartment.
That I'm further immersing myself in changeling culture to better run MNET?
Silver guessed.
That means I'll eventually have to live in a human group to ensure no ill feeling across the races.
Good trade-off for safety. You could reach out to the Alliance to set up a future stay in a mostly human enclave to head off any cries of favoritism, even though we bears are your favorite.
Silver didn't react to his wink. That would only encourage him, and Valentia Nikolaev didn't need positive reinforcement.
Is it the Black Edge complex you're suggesting?
A rumbling sound from deep in his chest, his hands suddenly sprouting lethal claws that dug into the earth as he sat up, palms braced behind him.
Yes. You'd be surrounded mostly by wolves, and that's enough to make anyone deranged. But there's no chance of a stranger getting to you without someone noticing.
Are there bears in the complex?
A few poor souls.
Valentian's tone was mournful.
Nowhere else suitable in the city for those strange clanmates who want to work in city-based professions, like that rebel cousin of mine who's convinced he loves being a prosecutor.
Valentian's rebel cousin was actually one of the best young enforcement prosecutors in the city, and Silver knew full well Valentian had taken him out to celebrate after big victories, the proud older cousin and even prouder Alpha.
I've always thought the larger and more predatory changelings must find it difficult in the city.
The most dangerous predators lived for wild places.
That's why the Black Edge development was so important.
Don't you mean the Black Edge Stonewater development?
At Valentin's sharp look, she said,
I have my own spy files.
A scowl that was all dark eyebrows and bare arrogance.
The wolves and leopards out in California gave us the idea,
he said in a grudging tone.
Wolves are mangy, and they probably give my clanmates fleas, but we decided a while back that there are certain things it makes sense for us to work on together.
Ah, this must be the source of your deep and abiding friendship.
Scowling deeper at her reference to his comment the morning he'd come to her apartment, he shuddered.
I don't know how Lucas Hunter does it. Then again, he's a cat. They find the strangest things funny. Maybe he thinks an alliance with wolves is a hysterical joke.
Silver wondered how much of the bear antipathy for the wolves, and vice versa, was real and how much was habitual.
I'd have to check if the complex has any openings.
It wasn't built like a Psy or human apartment building. The homes were spread out amidst a large amount of green space. Raised pathways that doubled as elevated runs meant every residence, even those sized for single individuals, had a personal exit directly onto a path.
I already checked. One apartment available on the third floor of a four-story building. Wolves and bears around you. My rebel cousin would be your neighbor.
Silva realized that this was a neat trap into which she'd been gently nudged. But since it happened to be an excellent idea, she had no reason to protest. However, her relocation would be only until they'd unearthed the traitor. She'd permit no one to force her out of her home. The two of them sat in silence for long minutes, the water flowing below and the birds raucous as they finished their business for the day. Valentian was the one who broke the quiet.
If you want to go for a run after you feel better, Starlight, I can show you a running track through the woods. I know you go running on Moscow streets after dark.
It's quiet then. The street's comparatively empty.
Being around so many bears must be driving you crazy.
No, I'm having no difficulty being in Denholm. Silver had expected to feel suffocated, but she'd forgotten to factor in an important variable. She'd grown up in a tightly integrated extended family unit, had spent her entire childhood sharing quarters with others. The bear setup didn't stress her on any level.
My family has a version of Denholm, she found herself telling him. On a much smaller scale, of course.
Ina?
Silver nodded. Her grandmother's home was a place where they were all welcome and where they gathered multiple times a year.
Look.
Valentian nodded up.
Stars are starting to appear.
Her vision wasn't as acute as his. She couldn't see the stars against the gray of the sky, but she could feel the cooling air, hear the rustling of the trees.
I've never been in this type of environment.
Valentian took in her profile, bear and man both deeply contented at being here, beside her.
There's beauty in the night, in wild spaces filled with life.
It sang to his soul. He could tolerate the city, but sooner or later his heart began to keen for the primal forests that were his home. They kept those forests as natural as possible, but Denholm itself wasn't in any way backward. Having watched and learned while he was Zoya's first second, Valentian had purchased a satellite for his clan as soon as he had the power. It meant their communications weren't reliant on any outside party. Of course, that satellite was more irritating than a smug wolf when it bounced him calls at moments that he'd rather be left alone, like right now. Glancing at the screen, he saw Pavel's name.
What is it?
He asked, aware the other man was on sentry duty.
I have a very pretty dude here claiming to be your Starlight's brother. Silver eyes, black hair, supermodel bones. He's giving me a death stare.
Sitting up, his bear at attention, Valentian looked at Silver.
You have a brother?
How had he never unearthed that fact? A pause, her head angled as if listening.
Arwen is here,
she said.
He says he wasn't giving anyone the death stare. That's his normal expression.
Must run in the family.
Silver's response was a look that was all ice. Wanting to kiss her so bad it hurt, he told Pavel to guide the other man to a particular section of the territory, one that wasn't too close to Denholm. It was one thing to trust Silver and Ina not to betray them, quite another to trust a brother he'd never seen. It took them 20 minutes to reach the location. Pavel leaned against a sleek black vehicle while another male stood nearby. Valentin recognized him at once. He was a regular visitor to Silver's apartment. But the color of their eyes aside, the two had little in common, physically speaking. Arwen Merkant looked to be shorter than his sister, maybe 5'7 or 5'8. That black hair Pavel had already noted, straight and smooth and cut with CEO ruthlessness, not a strand out of place. A skin tone that was more olive than golden. The supermodel bones that equaled high cheekbones and a square jawline. While his eyes were the same shade as Silver's, they were tilted sharply at the corners, giving him a silkily feline appearance. Right now, he looked about as suited to these primeval forests as a peacock. His suit was dark gray and flawlessly fitted, his tie a stylish black.
Arwen.
Valentin heard a subtle warmth in Silver's tone that had him listening hard.
Silver.
Walking forward, her brother stopped a foot from Silver. Silver didn't make contact either. It wasn't how changelings would greet each other, and it definitely wasn't how bears would greet a sibling who'd been hurt, but Valentin didn't make the mistake of thinking they weren't close. Back when he'd noticed all those visits by Arwen in the surveillance files Pavel kept on all the major players in the area, he'd been jealous, until he'd gotten a close look at the other man's eyes and figured out he was family. Now that he knew their relationship, the visits took on another meaning. Chapter 14. The Isai, or empaths as they are called in the vernacular, are something of a peculiarity. The powerful among them can heal the most devastating of emotional wounds. Folklore says they can cure insanity. That has never been proven. What has been proven is that they can certainly help people through difficult emotional times, absorbing negative emotion in a way that defies even psychic explanation. Introduction to The Mysterious E Designation, Empathic Gifts and Shadows by Alice Eldridge. Reprint, 2082.
What are you doing here?
Silver asked her brother, keeping the conversation on the audible level so as not to be rude to her hosts. Right then, however, Valentin moved away to speak to Pavel. The distance was such that neither bear should be able to hear this conversation if she and Arwen maintained a low volume.
I needed to see you were all right.
Her brother let his shields fall. On his face, she saw layer upon layer of deepest emotion. Arwen's vulnerability was a rare thing in the world in which they lived.
I'm fine.
Of the two of them, Silver had always been the more ruthless and pragmatic. Arwen's gradient 7.9 empathic abilities sometimes threatened to leave him wide open to the violence and chaos of the world. She, all of the Merkins, had always known he was precious, had protected him from the cradle, but only now did they understand that he was likely responsible for the deep mental stability of the Merkins over the past 29 years, give or take a few weeks. Arwen made them better. Better people, better Psi, just better.
Are you sure?
Her brother asked.
This environment.
Stepping closer, he lowered his voice to a whisper.
Are you aware you're wearing a monstrosity of a sweatshirt and canvas sneakers?
A scandalized look down at those sneakers.
I'm half afraid you've been brainwashed.
I'm adapting to my circumstances.
Seeing below the frivolous comment to the concern that had brought him here, so far out of the city that was his comfort zone, she touched him on the arm.
Thank you for coming to check on me.
He froze for a second, the reaction an instinctive one for siblings who'd grown up under silence, but he softened far quicker than any other member of the family would have done, lifting his other hand to place it over hers. As she'd learned to give Arwen what he needed to feel emotionally healthy, he'd learned to see through her silence to the certainty that she'd die to protect him. Silver didn't know how to love, but she knew how to hold on to her people.
You look good.
Relief colored his tone.
You're recovering?
It'll take a little time to get back to full strength, but I suffered no permanent damage.
You're in a jungle with a clan of bears who don't even believe in proper roads. What if you have a relapse?
The Stonewater Healer is fully qualified.
Silver knew from the research she'd done into the clan that Ivanova Nova Nikolaev was an MD as well as a changeling healer.
I'm in excellent hands.
Arwen sighed.
You're determined to stay here? It's so primitive.
While her brother was a sophisticate through and through. Gentle and kind and the best merchant of them all, but a snob when it came to his clothes and the cut of his hair. He'd lay down his life for a stranger in harm's way without thinking twice, but even as he died, he'd probably be judging the clothes and shoes of everyone around him. Pavel looked over at that instant, winked at Arwen, who turned right back to Silver.
If you're determined to remain in this den of savages,
he said in a tone designed to carry to sensitive changeling ears,
I'll make sure to visit regularly so you don't forget civilization.
Used to him, Silver said,
Come, I'll introduce you.
But by the time she reached Valentian, Pavel, whom she knew through her spy files on Stonewater, had melted away into the trees with unexpected stealth. It was a timely reminder never to forget that bears were dangerous predators under the skin, even bears who wore spectacles and had dimples in both cheeks.
You're Arwen.
Valentian held out a hand in an action that said he'd noted their physical contact. Arwen shook it.
Alpha Nikolaev,
he said formally.
Thank you for offering Silver Sanctuary until we get to the bottom of this. Progress?
Arwen shook his head.
I did get access to the report on the poison. It has a unique composition.
Slipping out his whisper-thin combined organizer and phone, he brought up the chemical breakdown and turned the screen to face them.
I can run through the components. No, I see it.
Valentian took the cutting-edge device. His expression turned unforgiving seconds later.
At a guess, I'd say this is designed to badly disturb psi neurochemistry.
Valentian has a master's degree in psychology, Silver told her startled brother. Valentian's academic choice had always intrigued her. It seemed so opposed to his forthright nature. As he was so academically proficient, he was strongly urged to do a doctorate. I'm guessing he's aware of certain chemicals as they interact with the brain. Valentian's expression softened, delight apparent in his eyes at her knowledge of his academic success.
Not something we studied in depth, Starlichka, but I know enough to make sense of this.
Handing Arwen's prized piece of tech back to her brother, he said,
It's the combination that's the key, isn't it? Yes. The dosage was precisely calibrated to be devastating to the Psi system.
Arwen gave them a précis of the report because he'd already had time to digest it. The poisoner, Silver said, is either a highly skilled chemist or has access to the same. Valentian's eyes glinted amber.
It's a scent, a place to start.
He went to say something else when his phone rang. The person on the other end had news of a highly unexpected nature. The Human Alpha. Bowen Knight took a second look at the header of the email his assistant had forwarded to him. He had an open-door policy to every member of the Alliance, having learned that an out-of-touch leadership could destroy an organization from within. However, with that policy came an avalanche of messages no single human could possibly read. He'd finally agreed with his sister's suggestion that he get an assistant. Lily had also provided him with the CV of an eminently qualified person. Not only was Neha trained to the highest level, she was extremely intelligent. Filtering his messages, everything apart from those that came directly to his private address, was just one part of her complex duties. At first, he'd checked the messages she'd filtered out from his inbox. He'd found not a single decision with which he disagreed. These days, he trusted her judgment. Which was why he was surprised to see the subject line of the message she'd forwarded not just to his inbox, but also to his phone, so that it would pop up for his immediate attention. Ignore at your peril. It seemed like the kind of scam, junky header designed to get people to open questionable mail, but Neha had clearly seen something important in it, so he didn't ignore it. Scanning it as he stood on his balcony overlooking a canal, he frowned. Consider this fair warning. If you do not stop your efforts to destroy the human race by taking part in this elimination effort disguised as a peace accord, you will pay the price. You are important to the Alliance, have just been led astray. See the error of your ways. The first one will be a warning. The second will be aimed at you. There was no signature line, nothing in the generic free-to-get address to show who might have sent it. What was clear was its threatening nature. Beau immediately contacted the tech team that was part of his larger security team and put them on the job of seeing if they could track the sender.
Also, issue a yellow level warning to all staff,
he ordered.
A crackpot like this might actually turn up and take a shot.
Yellow was appropriate and would be taken seriously. Red was saved for an emergency, orange for when they had details of an actual event that was nearly guaranteed to take place. After he hung up, he considered the message again. At first glance, it appeared to be written by someone of limited education, but when he looked at it more carefully, he saw that there were no misspellings and, except for the odd capitalization, the grammar and syntax were perfect. Unfortunately, the writer's pattern of speech wasn't enough to track them down. There were a whole lot of intelligent, unhinged bastards on the planet. The alert would have to stay at yellow until he had further data. Closing the message, he was about to slide away his phone when it rang. He answered with a smile.
Phoenix, how's work going?
His closest cousin in age, who also happened to be one of his best friends, had relocated to Mozambique 8 months earlier on an engineering contract.
On schedule, all good to finish in 2 months,
the other man said quickly.
I called you about something else.
Before Beau could ask what that was, Phoenix burst out with,
I got mated!
Mated. That word had very specific usage.
A changeling?
Beau grinned.
One of the gazelles you've been admiring from afar?
Phoenix was brilliant and hard-working, but he was also shy to the point that Beau knew he hadn't ever had a girlfriend, despite the efforts of his friends to find him equally gentle women to date.
You actually went up and introduced yourself?
Gazelles tended to be gentle and shy, too, so it'd be a perfect match.
Not quite.
Phoenix sounded like he was grinning so hard his face was about to crack.
Yannicka came up to me, hauled me into a kiss, and the next thing I know, I'm naked and happy and waking up with the most beautiful woman I've met in my entire life.
Beau blinked.
Not a gazelle, then. She's a bear!
This time, Beau had to sit down. He did so on the balcony floor. The idea of sweet, blushing Phoenix with one of the toughest predators on the planet.
You're sure you're mated and your beautiful bear's not just taking you for a delirious ride?
He's mine and he's delightful.
Those words were spoken in a throaty female voice that dripped with possession.
You can't have him back.
I don't want to go anywhere.
Phoenix's voice, the timbre unexpectedly solemn.
You're it for me, Yanni.
Ahem, Beau said before the two forgot he was on the line.
Congratulations to you both.
His happiness for his cousin was no less, despite his shock.
When do we get to celebrate with you? I can't leave the project at such a critical time, but plan for a huge party when I get back. Yanni's got a lot of relatives.
Beau felt a scowl coming on.
Your Yannicka can keep you, but tell her you belong to us, too.
Changeling packs and clans had a bad habit of absorbing people. Beau wasn't about to lose touch with a member of his own clan.
Possessive, aren't you?
The female voice again, her accent distinctive. Very distinctive. Beau sat up straight.
Stonewater? You made it a bear from Stonewater?
The Bear Clan controlled an immense chunk of Russia, and its members were notorious for the way they managed to nab business deals right out from under their opponents' noses. Someone in that clan had one hell of a strategic brain.
Tell my brother I said hi when he calls,
Yannicka said.
I'm now going to ravage my adorable mate.
From the masculine laugh Beau caught before Yannicka hung up, Phoenix was more than willing to be ravaged.
Jesus. Phoenix with a Stonewater bear.
It was like putting a fluffy kitten with a saber-toothed tiger. He hoped to hell his cousin knew what he was doing. His phone flashed again. This time it was a call being redirected from the number the Alliance had on file with Trinity. That it was being routed directly to his phone told him it was important.
Bowen Knight,
he answered.
This is Alpha Valentian Nikolaev.
Bo didn't believe it.
I'm still in shock over my deathly shy cousin mating a Stonewater bear.
He banged the back of his head against the railings.
If you tell me Yannicka is your sister, my head will probably explode.
Laughter filled the line, the sound big and warm and primal.
Ha ha, we are family now, Bo and Knight!
Chapter 15.
Ain't no party like a bear party. It's the hangover that's the problem.
Worth it. Carpe the diem.
Wolves are cool. Bears are fools.
Didn't get an invite to the party, huh?
Graffiti on a Moscow wall, each line written by a different unknown individual over successive days prior to erasure by the City Works Department. 2 hours after they'd returned to Denholm, Silver sat in a comparatively quiet corner of the cavern and watched several bears, in bear form, stand up on their back paws to dance. At least two were holding beer bottles in their paws. One had tinsel wrapped around his neck and was, for some unknown reason, wearing sunglasses. Another was snoring a few feet away from her. Every so often he'd slap out his paw as if killing dream flies. The cubs who weren't yet asleep kept sneaking up to the sleeping bear on tiptoe and putting flowers and play jewels on his fur. By now he was extremely well bedazzled. Not far from him, a number of clanmates who hadn't shifted form were playing a game called Bobbing for Apples. No one had so far returned from their shallow dive with an apple, but that didn't stop their stomach-holding laughter, possibly because the adult barrel was apparently filled not with water but with liquid of a more alcoholic variety. The cubs had a cub-sized barrel that was more traditional. The tiny gangsters were making up their own games. One was currently standing on her head next to Silver, while another two had stuffed so many cherries into their mouths that they looked like chipmunks. It was a contest from what she could see, with the stems of the cherries neatly lined up beside them. Two more were in bear cub form doing kung fu, as told to Silver by the martial artists themselves before they shifted.
How many seconds?
The headstander called out.
7,
Silver said.
Nika's mated,
the same child called out.
I like Nika.
Tumbling to the floor, she rubbed at the top of her head before running off toward the food table. Silver watched the tiny girl duck between much larger bears with fearless dexterity, saw a hand reach down to pluck her up and throw her across the room into another pair of waiting arms. She was lowered to the floor right by the food, a wide grin on her face.
Boom, boom.
A very small cub lurched against Silver's chair, balance not yet his strong point. Someone had shaped and gelled his soft blonde hair into a mohawk and dressed him in a miniature replica of a biker jacket, complete with fake chains.
Boom, boom!
Yes, the music has a strong beat, Silver responded. It's not as loud as I expected, however.
Big blue eyes looked at her with solemn attention. He then dropped a soggy, half-eaten cookie onto her lap. Plucking the child into his arms, Valentian blew a raspberry on his stomach. The cub giggled.
You should be in bed.
Despite the stern words, Valentian cuddled the cub close and began to pat the little boy's back as he leaned up against the wall next to Silver.
Sounds calibrated not to blow out our eardrums.
Silver put the unwanted cookie on a discarded plate nearby.
Of course.
Changeling hearing was acute.
I haven't seen you take a drink.
It was his sister's mating the clan was celebrating, after all. A wink.
I'll wait until Nika's home with her engineer. That'll be a party.
Silver looked around the wild chaos of the cavern. The kung fu cubs were now doing kung fu on the legs of adult bears, while the beer-drinking bears were pointing to the whiskey bottle on the bar table and nodding at one another. Pavel's twin, Yakov, was spinning on Anastasia in a dance that kept crashing them both into the other couples, at which point everyone involved cracked up laughing, right before a pie sailed from across the room to nail Yakov on the back of his head.
Pasha!
With that roar, he took off through the crowd, hell-bent on vengeance.
If that will be a party, she said. What is this?
Fun, but it'll shut down soon. That whiskey's never going to be opened. People have shifts to prepare for, work to rest up for.
He looked down at the child who'd fallen trustingly asleep in his arms.
I'll get this escapee to bed.
A glance out of eyes gone amber.
Stay until I get back.
Silver found herself nodding, though she should have retreated to her room an hour ago, her body yet healing. She watched as Valentian walked toward the residential area, his big body too heavy with muscle to be graceful. Yet he was, in a way that was all power and strength. Valentian had just returned from putting the cub into his crib, after ridding him of the biker jacket, and was trying to think of a cat-sneaky way to talk Silver into a dance, when her eyes suddenly connected with his, urgency in their depths. His phone buzzed 3 seconds later, a second after he'd navigated his way to her. The name on the screen was Zarina Saarinen. Head of Stonewater's educational system and mother to Zahan, Zarina was in the city for a party to celebrate the birthday of her former college roommate, a human female who was now an astronomer. He answered it as Silver motioned for him to follow her back into the quieter residence section.
Zarina, what's happened?
A bomb, I think,
she shouted down the line, screams and shouts loud in the background.
I heard the explosion from 2 streets away, ran over into dust and chaos. It looks like the Dancing Frog bar was the focal point.
A bar?
Who's on scene?
Krychek's here, along with people from neighboring businesses. No emergency crews yet.
Do what you can.
Hanging up, Valentian looked at Silver.
You know?
The telepathic highway was a lightning-fast one.
Only human victims discovered so far,
Silver said, her eyes on her phone, which scrolled with data.
I'm in touch with local authorities to see if they need MNET assistance.
Anger raced through Valentin's blood.
The fanatics who've been predicting the destruction of the Psi race if Trinity goes ahead.
The threats had been sent to various comm stations, warning of a loss of Psi superiority if others were to interbreed with them.
Didn't the pieces of shit threaten to attack humans and changelings seen associating with Psi?
Words filtering through that it was a suicide bomber.
Silver touched her temple for a second before starting to work her phone again.
No signs of him being Psi at this point. Taking into account the location and the known casualties, as well as the lack of any violent psychic ripples in the net, there's a high chance it was a non-Psi.
Valentian wanted to say no changeling could do this, but their race wasn't perfect. It was capable of spawning those with hate and violence in their heart. Valentian knew that firsthand. Even if he hadn't, it was changelings who'd stained the earth blood red during the territorial wars 3.5 centuries ago. No alpha, no changeling could ever afford to forget that, especially in a time when it would be so easy to blame the Psi for the world's ills.
I'm heading to the city,
he told Silver, raw pain intermingling with the anger.
A Stonewater team will follow.
He'd give the order as he was leaving. As he'd said to his Starlight, people had been having a good time, but despite appearances, nobody was drunk.